smack dab in the center of your scripture in your Bible, you should find the book of Psalms. Turn there to the first chapter of Psalms, chapter 1. Also, if you have a bulletin, you want to follow along with me this morning, I've got an outline of the message. We are taking part in a series on Hebrew poetry. We're looking at the section of scripture for this year, which is known as poetry, or the poetic section of the Bible. The book of Psalms, part of that. We just finished a series on Job and acknowledged the problem of pain with the question, why do good people suffer? And wrangled with reality, per se, as we considered just why there is struggle and suffering, sickness, and ultimately death on earth, and how we are to handle those things. This morning I want to begin, and probably will take us through the summer, studying the book of Psalms. Wow, we're going to call this, according to Psalm 100, verse 2, the worship of the Lord with gladness. We want to learn how to worship God with gladness, to gladly worship Him. And I'd like to suggest to you an introduction this morning that there is no book of the Bible that is more practical, instructive, or theological than the book of Psalms. This 300-year-old hymn book, 150 songs. It's the longest book of the Bible. And yet it is encoded in written language here. Unbelievable insight as to who God is and who you are. Why we're on this planet, and practical ways to live, insightful instructions, especially as they relate to the area of worship and our relationship with God, but also profound theology, theologos, as we study God and learn who God is, what He's done for us, the book of Psalms. Little quiz for you. Where would you go in the Bible this morning if you had a Bible and you were afraid? Where in the Bible would you turn to find courage, comfort in the face of fear? How about if you were depressed or discouraged? Where would you go in Scripture to find insight from God as to dealing with your depression or discouragement? About anxiety? Uncertainty, because life is chock full of it. Where would you turn in Scripture to find God's Word, His instructions on how to manage anxiety? What about grief? Many who are grieving this morning. Where could you turn to find God's heart for those who grieve and experience loss? About doubt. Where would you go in the Bible if you were doubting your faith? You were wondering where God was or why He wasn't working on your behalf in some given situation. Where could you turn? My answer to all of those is the book of Psalms. It's the book of Psalms. I believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I can't think of one book of the Bible that is more practical, more instructive, more theological. Perhaps my all-time favorite book. I hope that by the end of this summer, as we study it together, it might become yours as well. The book of Psalms. Turn there, if you would, to chapter 1. The first psalm is actually a song, per se, as all the psalms are, songs or poems. And we find here what I think is a question to a significant, or an answer to a significant question. What kind of man or woman does God bless? What kind of person does God bless? Psalm 1 will tell you, if you'll take time to read it. You see, God's blessing is not some generic, random thing. Rather, it is oftentimes in response to what you and I do or don't do. In other words, it is possible to place yourself in a position or place where God can bless you. And conversely, it is possible to step out of a place where God can bless you. He would like to, I believe. But under your circumstances, He cannot bless your life. What kind of person does God bless? Boy, Psalm 1 answers the question. Turn with me, if you would. Verse 1 and following. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But in contrast, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What the psalmist does is he tells us that a person who is blessed by God does do certain things and does not do others. And he begins with the negatives here. What he or she does not do. Notice there in verse 1. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, he or she does not heed bad advice when it's given. Secondly, it says he or she does not stand in the way of sinners. That person doesn't follow bad examples either. You know, I can't think of something that's more necessary for this up-and-coming generation than examples, models. Remember the poem, "The eye is a far better pupil than ever was the ear. Good advice can be confusing." Next line. Example is always clear. I'd rather see a good sermon than hear one any day. Your life is an example. It's a model. And the Bible tells us, in essence, a righteous person, someone who is in right relationship with God, does not follow bad examples. They don't stand in the way of sinners. They do not heed bad advice. Notice the third thing we're told in verse 1 they don't do. They don't bad mouth others either. They have a careful rein on their tongue. They don't sit in the seat of mockers. Do you? Kind of person does God bless? I can guarantee you, he will not bless someone who's walking under wicked counsel, who's standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in mocker seats. In contrast, verse 2, however, this person who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his day and night will be blessed by God. What does he do? He enjoys following God's instructions. Do you? Interesting, the word in the NIV there, meditate, or to meditate on. Not to be confused with Eastern meditation, which in essence is a philosophy that says you need to empty your mind. It is the search for nothingness, as if that were ideal. I guess in that philosophy or belief system, it is. Biblical meditation is just the opposite. It's not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind purposefully. It is meditating on, it's focusing in on something. You want to know a good word to insert there? Ruminate. The person who ruminates on God's word. Any chewers in the crowd this morning? Free to admit it, a little pinch between the old cheek and gum. It's the ruminators. I used to squirrel hunt with an old-time farmer as a kid, and he chewed beechnut. You remember those days, big old pouch of beechnut? And I remember Buddy and I were out in the woods with him one time, and we kind of conjured him into letting us try a chaw, just a little chaw. You ever chewed tobacco? You ever tried it? I don't want to say how old I was, but I would guess 12, 14 years old. Old enough to carry a shotgun. This is dangerous stuff here. And this was no pinch. He gave us a big old hunk, and we did like he did. We made room for it and jammed it in there. What he didn't tell us is we were not supposed to swallow the juice. That's what I say. We're chewing along, and we'd forgotten to spit. And we noticed there after, boy, it couldn't have been a couple of minutes, that we were starting to feel a little fuzzy. At least I was. And where I saw one tree, I started to see two. And funny as it was, we were hunting squirrel. And I saw two squirrels running across the limb. becoming one, becoming two. And I wonder which squirrel to shoot at. I shot between them. Got the tree next door, missed the squirrel. And it didn't take me long, and I had to get rid of that tobacco and just about everything else that was in my stomach. That was bad news. Hey, every cow in Branch County knows the secret of ruminating, meditating. They go out in the pasture to eat, then what do? They regurgitate it an hour, two, 3 hours later, and they work it over a little more. And the Bible says, you want to know what kind of person God blesses? It's the person who not only hears his word or looks into it in their devotional at church, but then they go back over it. They start to think about it. Ruminate. Chewing your cud in a spiritual sense. Now, all of you do that probably routinely, even though you don't think about it. Somebody makes a comment to you. Boy, you don't look so good today. And you walk out of church saying, now what do they mean by that? Look so good. What doesn't look good about me? You go to the mirror and you start looking yourself over and, boy, maybe my hair's out of place, or I know my nose is a little bigger than normal, but you're working yourself over and you're thinking about, you're ruminating over what that person said, aren't you? That's meditation. Just the opposite. Hey, guys, one of those early dating experiences when the girl leans over to you and she says, you know, you're kind of cute. I think you're special. And you float out of the gymnasium that day after the game because she thinks you're special. What does she mean by special? You start working that one over. What is it about me that she likes? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? And that works on you for a while. That's what the Bible says you need to do with God's word. You need to bring it back up. You need to think about it. Let me give you an example right here in the text. Verse 3. Last part or last line of verse 3. Whatever he does prospers. Boy, that's an outstanding thought. Think about it. The person that God blesses is prosperous in whatever he or she attempts. Think about that. Meditate on that. The advantage of being a believer. Almost unbelievable, isn't it? And so I have to ask myself as I go this morning, am I prospering? In what areas is God's blessing in my life evident? You can see that what I put my hand to is successful. And perhaps in which areas is it not? The psalmist says, you want to know what kind of person God blesses? It's somebody who takes to heart what he says, his instructions, and he works it over and into his or her life. That's the person that God blesses. Similar idea. It's found in Psalm 19. If you're in the Psalms, just turn forward a few. Verse 7 and following talks about the benefits or advantages of knowing God's word and likewise taking it to heart. Psalm 19:7 and following. The law of the Lord is perfect. Notice what it does. It revives the soul. Anybody in need of revival this morning? The soul is the psyche. It's the mind. It's the inner person. God says, you know where you need to go when you feel drug out and worn out and washed out? You need to get to the Word. God's got something to say to you that will breathe air like a sail on a windless day. It'll blow wind into your sail. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. They make wise the simple. All of us could use a little added emphasis on wisdom, couldn't we, in our life? You know where you'll find it? The Word of God. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Worship the Lord with gladness. Gladly, we want to worship or experience God. And in fact, enjoy it in the process, and it comes from God's Word. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, insight to yourself and your circumstances into life. It comes from God. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. Take note, verse 10, they are more precious than gold. Boy, we've got a lot of advertisement going on these days about investing in gold, don't we? I would imagine a few of you have picked up on that and are doing so. The Bible says, let me tell you, a better investment still. You see, because heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my what? My word, what I say, endures forever. It'll never pass. You want to make a good investment in something, rain or shine, generation to generation, from now to eternity, will last. The permanence of God's truth. Invest in that. It's more precious than gold, than much pure gold, much sweeter than honey, honey from the comb. Verse 11, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is what? Great reward. Who isn't looking for a reward these days? Get into God's Word and you'll find out how rewarding it can be. For that reason, I believe, and we're back in Psalm 1 there, verse 3, he says, one of the rewards is what you become in and of yourself. Whatever he does prospers. What kind of person does God bless? Well, he isn't going to bless someone who's walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of mockers. However, God is very interested in blessing you and I to the degree that we will take delight, that we will enjoy his law, his word, his precepts, his commands, his instructions. And in fact, learn to meditate, to think about what he's telling us throughout the day, day and night. Then the psalmist gives us a metaphor, as you'll find frequently in Scripture. He is like, or she is like. It's a simile. It's similar to. You and I are not trees, but you become tree-like if you do. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. That kind of a person is like a tree. Let me take that analogy again from the book of Psalms, chapter 92. If you're there in Psalms, you want to turn over with me. A similar analogy from verse 12 and following, chapter 92 of Psalms. The righteous, the psalmist writes, will flourish like a palm tree, and they'll grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Now, that doesn't mean much to us in Michigan, because we're surrounded by trees. But remember, most of Scripture was written where? In the desert. Boy, if you could find shade, you were lucky at any given point. They were very impressed with trees, as we ought to be as well. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They'll grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of God. That's the second time he's used the word flourish, as opposed to perishing. And they will still bear fruit. When? Senior citizens just keep on being fruitful in their old age. They stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He's my rock. There's no wickedness in him. The kind of person that you and I become as we simply follow, take to heart God's instructions and apply them to our lives. Wow. Now notice, and let me finish up here. The following verses present, as often is the case in Psalms, a case in contrast. In this case, the righteous person, the person who's right with God, versus the wicked. Those who are not. In fact, hold your place one more time. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a classic example of contrast. Most of the book of Proverbs, I hope to be there this fall, contrasts one thing with another. Chapter 11 of Proverbs, the contrast is between a wicked person and an upright one. Let me just sample a few verses. For example, verse 5 and following of Proverbs 11. Notice, the righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them. But the wicked, in contrast, are brought down by their own wickedness. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright delivers them. But in contrast, what? The unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. When a wicked man dies, his hope perishes. All he expected from his power comes to nothing. Verse 8, the righteous man is rescued from trouble, and it comes upon who? The wicked instead. Verse 9, with his mouth the godless destroys his neighbor, but in contrast, through knowledge, the righteous escape. Verse 10, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, same effect. There's shouts of joy. Wow. Finally, verse 11, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Direct implications for those who rule, isn't it? In the political sphere. Righteousness versus wickedness. Now back to Psalm 1. Let's finish up. Verse 4. So are the wicked. Not so the wicked, I'm sorry. Not like a tree. What are they like? They're like chaff. What is chaff? Hey, a couple of months they're going to be combining wheat. Boy, I take that back. They're going to be combining wheat early this year, aren't the farmers? A couple of months they'll be cutting beans. Do you know what the machine does? I know it does, at least in the beans. It separates the bean from the pod, doesn't it? That's the chaff. And those are dusty days around our house. We get dusted. I don't know about you if you're out in the country. But that chaff and that dust just blows. And the psalmist says, that's the way the wicked are. There's no sustenance to them, no substance. It's trivial. It's temporary. Their lives, like chaff, just blow away. Like sawdust. As compared to what? A tree. That is the person who God has blessed. In contrast to the one who rejects God, the wicked. Not so the wicked, they're like chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. In summary, verse 6, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Take note, God has divided the world into two categories. Traditionally, we find that throughout Scripture, don't we? Light and darkness, and that contrast. The kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness. And you and I, every person, ultimately will define ourselves as being in the light or in the darkness. The way of righteousness of God, as we see it spelled out here, as opposed to the way of the wicked, which ultimately will perish. Powerful psalm really sets the stage, I believe, for where we're going to go here in the next weeks as we break into this potent book, God's Word. And hopefully, as like the cows are doing this afternoon, we ruminate, we chew on it, we work it through and into the fabric of our lives, we put it into practice. Where are you at this morning? Let's ask in terms of application. You'll notice there I've stated three questions I want to leave you with. How do we apply this text? What can we do with what we've seen? Could I suggest that you become the kind of person that God will bless? Would you do that? Because you can. He just gave us some very clear clues or cues as to the kind of person that God does and does not bless. Categorize yourself. Which of those two do you fall into? Become that kind of person. This summer, I want to invite you to read the book of Psalms with me. We have spiritual discipline charts. Are they in here this morning? Yeah. Let's give them out at the door as they go. Hold one out there, Jenny. I'm going to invite you to take a chart this morning as you go. We've got Slade, and we'll work our way through the book of Psalms. Would you read with me a couple of Psalms a day? In fact, this week we're going to read 15 Psalms, if you'll do that with me. And notice, as you do, I want to invite you to look for something that you could share from what you're learning about yourself, about God, about life. The instruction, the application, as I said, is practical as it can be for us, or theology from the book of Psalms. And boy, I'm inclined as we start each message, each Sunday in this series, to ask you, what did you see this week in God's Word? What have you been ruminating over? What's stuck in your soul that it's influenced you? And I want to give you an opportunity. I would hope that you would take up the challenge to come to church and to say, you know what I found? You know what God said? You know what really struck me in this psalm, in this verse? This is what I saw, what I think God is saying to me or to us corporately. Would you do that? As you read the book of Psalms, take note, underline, star, use your pencils. Get busy. Let's become students. As we see the man that God blesses is someone who delights. He loves to understand and know God's word and apply it to his or her life. Be ready to share. And then finally, ultimately, learn to worship the Lord with gladness, as he's assigned us to do, to enjoy our relationship with him. I'd like to do that as we close this morning. Mary, if you want to step up there. There's a psalm in your hymn book. I think we've got it on the board as well. It's Psalm 119. You may know it by heart.